make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations.
All right, please notice with me in Ephesians chapter 5, reading verses 18 through verse 20. I'm just going to title the message this morning, Christianity and Thanksgiving. I have so many sermons on Thanksgiving over the years, and I actually look forward to preaching another one every year. And so it's my privilege to be able to do that. I want to say thanks before we get started for all the cooking and preparation for the food that we'll partake of and after the service, and also for the decorations and things of that nature as well. Very grateful for that. The fellowship hall looks very nice, and it smells very nice as well, does it not? Like I say, we've preached many sermons on this subject, and I realize we're approaching the national holiday of Thanksgiving, and I'm sure we'll all be observing that, but I am more concerned with the theology of Thanksgiving in the Holy Scripture to a holy God. Reading from verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Father, we thank Thee this morning for the privilege again that You've given us to be able to assemble together. And Father, we pray this morning that as we look at Scriptures on the subject of Thanksgiving, Lord, we pray that You'll speak to us, You'll bless our hearts today. Lord, encourage us to always be a thankful people. We just praise You this morning, Lord, for all that You've done for us and who that You are. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Notice as we come here, verse 20 is going to be my text to begin our message here this morning in connection with being filled with the Spirit. He says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Thanksgiving is a voluntary expression of gratitude to God for who that He is and also for His benefits. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 103 that we're to be grateful and thankful for all of His benefits, plural, as some of you have already testified this morning. Thanksgiving is a major theme throughout the Holy Scripture. It's the word thanks in one form or another is used over 140 times. Israel had times of thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, there was a particular offering in Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 12 that was centered around thanksgiving. It was called a peace offering, and it was voluntary. We also know that they had the feast days. Leviticus chapter 23, there's seven feast days. And three of those, or four of those, was in the spring, and four of those were in the fall. And they were a time of thanksgiving and celebration. Those in the fall was the blowing of trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and tabernacles. And all of those were centered around the time of harvest. When you think about it, we think about harvest. Farmers gather in the harvest for another year. They're not only gathering in for just a few days, but this is for them for another year to supply their needs. And not only that, the Lord usually gives us around this time of year cooler weather and drier weather so that farmers, if you've ever done any farming, you'll know this, so that they can get in the fields and work and harvest their crops. So the Lord has worked all these things out so that they're not only giving the time of harvest, but giving the right weather, in most cases, the drier and cooler weather. Well, notice in verse 20, he says here again, I want to read this just a few times. Notice he said in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We find here that the apostle is speaking to the church at Ephesus. And he's speaking in reference here in verse 20 to thanksgiving. And it is to be always and for all things. Have you ever really sat down and just meditated upon that a while? He says that it is to be, this thanksgiving is to be always and for all things. Now, this is a command. It's not a suggestion. This is a command that God has given to us. And we find that it is for all believers. When he writes this letter, he's writing to the church. It'd be as if the Lord sent a letter to Victory Baptist Church in Coden, Alabama. And so as we look at the context, beginning in verse 18 again, that we started with a moment ago, we see here that only the Spirit-filled believer can truly offer up thanks always and at all times. Now, you can't do this in the flesh. It's a Spirit-filled believer. Thanksgiving is not an event, it's an attitude. It really is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And so when we come to this passage, I want to back up now to verse 18 as we started a moment ago. And I want to kind of get the context and camp out here before we go anywhere else. And I want you to really think about this. He speaks, and notice in verse 18, and I don't have an outline this morning. I'm just going to go through as many verses as we can until we get hungry and we need to go back into the fellowship hall. But notice as we come back to verse 18, I want you to notice there's two commands given to us in verse 18. One is not to be drunk with wine or as an excess, and the other one is to be filled with the Spirit. Verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Verse 19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 21, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." So we have two commands given to us in verse 18. We have a command here is not to be drunk with wine in excess. In other words, we find that drunkenness all through the Scriptures is a work of darkness in verse 11, and it is also a work of the flesh according to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. So as we study the Scripture, we see that the sin of drunkenness. Now, what does wine or liquor or whatever, what does it do to an individual? Well, they become under the control of it. Have you ever been around someone that's drunk? They're under the control of the power or the influence of the wine or the beer or the whiskey or whatever that they're drinking. And it affects everything about them. It affects their attitude, their disposition. It affects their speech, their walk. It affects their attitude, their actions. It affects everything about them. As a matter of fact, I never have enjoyed being around somebody that's drinking or on drugs, either one. And so it affects everything. It controls them. Matter of fact, wine and so forth, used to, I guess it still is, it was called spirits. And so it somebody that's under the influence of wine, again, it affects everything about them. Well, what about being filled with the Spirit? Notice he said in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess. Why? Because it controls every aspect of our being. And then he says in verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit doesn't mean that you need more of the Spirit, but it means that the Spirit needs more of us. To be filled with the Spirit is not a complicated thing. It's not speaking in tongues and barking like dogs. To be filled with the Spirit means to be under the control or influence of the Spirit of God. It has the idea of being governed by or dominated, as the wine would dominate somebody's life. They'd be under the control and influence. To be filled with the Spirit is to be surrendered to that, to be submitted to the Spirit of God. And we find many examples of this, you know, in the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, just stay where you're at. But in the book of Acts, in chapter 1 and verse 8, the Lord, before He ascended back into heaven after His resurrection, He spoke unto them about what John the Baptist spoke of in Matthew 3 and Luke chapter 3 and verses 4 and 5. He speaks of the coming of the Holy Spirit that would begin a particular ministry on the day of Pentecost. But He says in verse 8, He said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So He's saying that you'll be under the influence or the power of the Holy Spirit when the day of Pentecost would come. And we would see this promise in Luke 24, verse 49, as again, a parallel passage of Acts chapter 1. But as we read through the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit and he stands and speaks with boldness. We find again in verse 31 and 32 of Acts 4 that they were filled with the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit controlled their lives. The Spirit led them and the Spirit influenced them. They were under the Spirit's power, we could say. Then we see again when the were to elect some officers in Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, verse 3 and verse 5 and verse 10, the Lord told them to pick out someone who is full of the Spirit. Stephen was one of those. And so we get an idea of what it means. In Galatians 5, if you begin reading probably in verse 16, He begins talking there about walking in the Spirit in contrast to walking in the flesh. And he shows us the difference between the two. Then he begins listing what it means to walk in the flesh. He gives several words, several synonyms. And then in verse 22 and 23, he shows what it means to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, here's a list: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And so there's a contrast between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. And so when he says here in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, to be under the Spirit's influence, to be under the Spirit's control. In other words, the Spirit will govern our lives when we're filled with the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 3:20 speaks of the power that worketh within us. That power, the Holy Spirit, that works within us. And so this is an important thing when we consider this. And we're going to see in verses 19, 20, and 21, three areas of evidence of someone who is filled with the Spirit. Now again, if you got on the street here and interviewed people and you started asking them, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit, or what does it look like? There's no telling what you would hear today in 2021. I just have a feeling you would not hear what we're going to read about in verse 19, 20, and 21 of this passage. As a matter of fact, we know that the Spirit can be grieved, Ephesians 4. We know that the Spirit can be quenched, 1 Thessalonians 5. We know that the Spirit can be insulted, Hebrews 10, 29. We know that the Spirit can be resisted, Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. We also know that the Spirit can be lied to, Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. We also know that the Spirit can be blasphemed, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. So when we talk about the Spirit can be opposed, can be rejected, can be resisted, and many do today. But also when we talk about the Spirit in our text, we can be filled with the Spirit. We can not only have the Spirit that God gives to us upon conversion and regeneration, but we can be filled with the Spirit. In other words, we can walk under the power and the influence and be governed by the Spirit. Now I'm going to show you in a few moments that you can't separate the Spirit from the Word. Colossians, we're going to read that in a few moments. When he talks about being filled with the Spirit, he's talking about allowing the Word of God to dwell in our hearts and control our lives. You can't separate them. Last year I preached a message titled The Spirit and the Word. You cannot separate them. And so we don't have to look for something mystical. All we got to do is come to the Scripture. A person that is filled with the Spirit is a person that's filled with God's Word and walking in that Word. See. Now notice as we come back here again, I want to read verses 19, 20, and 21. Now there's three evidence given to us here in this passage. Three different ones. We're going to focus in on one of them. That's Thanksgiving. But when he says, be filled with the Spirit in verse 18, the first evidence of being filled with the Spirit, notice is in verse 19. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, it's edifying one another in word and song. Can I get an amen? Can I get a witness? Now think about this. Here's the first evidence. First evidence of being filled with the Spirit is speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We'll see this again in Colossians in just a moment. So what is the first evidence of being filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves. Now listen to me. Speaking to one another is what he means. He's not talking about speaking to yourself individually. He's talking about speaking to one another in words and songs with the heart filled with praise and melody. That's one sign or evidence of being filled with the Spirit. This should always be our conversation. I laid something on the table back there. I've given it to you at least twice before in the last 10 years. And it is titled True Patriotism by John Newton, a letter he sent to his friend, and he lived between 17 and 25 to 1807. Now, this has been a while back. This is a preacher writing a number of years ago. As a matter of fact, this is a Puritan minister of the Revolutionary era, even though he's in London and England. And I want you to go back this evening sometimes or tonight before you go to bed. And I want you to read this again, what he speaks to a friend of his of what true patriotism is. And it's not debating and arguing over disputes and politics and things of that nature. Please get that again. I've handed out to you before when we'd preach on war. And that is so important, because he deals with a friend, even a minister friend, and what he needs to always be speaking, and the Word of God, and he shows in here what Jesus Christ always dealt with, not the politics of the day, but dealing with the truths of God's Word. So I'm not going to get into that. I'm just leaving that for you to read again, to remind us. And here's a minister, 1700s. We're in 2021. 1700s, and they're dealing with the same thing then in Europe and also in America that we're dealing with today. Where do we keep our mind focused? And he speaks in here about keep. He said the problem is sin and rebellion against God. And he clearly talks about it's vain and foolish to paint the cabin while the ship is sinking or decorate the parlor while the house is on fire. In other words, the real issue is sin and rebellion against God's word. So I want you to read that again and so forth. Now, so the first evidence of being filled with the Spirit, let me say this again, is speaking to yourselves. Well, I'll put it this way, speaking to one another in word and song with hearts filled with praise and melody. So we can clearly see whether someone is filled with the Spirit based upon their conversation. All right, the second thing, well, let me skip over the second thing and go to the third. Go to verse 21. We'll come back to verse 20 in just a moment. But notice the third thing here, third evidence is submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Now, I want you to think about this. We know that the Bible is filled with one another's, especially the New Testament. Love one another, pray for one another, comfort one another, admonish one another, support one another, forgive one another, be kind to one another, receive one another. It goes on and on. We've got sermons on that. Romans 15:14 says, admonish one another. That is to instruct, to build up, to warn, and to encourage. So, submitting to one another. In other words, yielding our rights. The Lord Jesus Himself, as a young person, Luke 2:51, he was submitted unto his parents. And if we begin in verse 22, he gives us a list of all the peoples in this world. The wives, verse 25, the husbands, chapter 6 and verse 1, the children, chapter 6 and verse 4, the fathers, chapter 6 and verse 5, the servants, and chapter 6 and verse 9, the masters. This includes, I believe, everyone that lives upon this planet. So, the third evidence here of being filled with the Spirit and being filled with the Word is that we're submitted to one another. That is in the home, in the church, and other places, we're submitted to one another. Now let's get back to our subject. Notice in verse 20, we're gonna camp out here with this. And notice he said in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always and for all things. Let this be your meditation this week. Giving thanks always and for all things. Now that's a profound statement. It's simple, easy to memorize, but it is a profound statement. A thankful heart, the Spirit-filled Christian will always see God's hand in everything. Now see, that's the key here. It's not that just everything that happens in life is good and we enjoy it, as one testimony already this morning. But the Spirit-filled Christian will always see God's hand in everything. Now that's the key. Hold on here and notice with me as we come to the book of Colossians. Notice in Colossians, and I'm coming to chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. One writer says that thanksgiving is the harvest of the heart. After the fruit and grain are stored away, the quiet season of remembering the moment when we pause to praise and pray. One writer said, our murmuring is the devil's music. One writer said, I complained because I had no shoes until I met a man with no feet. Another writer, he says, grumbling will be the forever accent of hell, and gratitude, the forever accent of heaven. How true this is. I'm going to give you one other quote and from a diary of Matthew Henry. And he said this, Matthew Henry was robbed at one time. And he said, let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, because they took my purse and not my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. Now that's a thankful heart. That is a thankful heart. Amen? Now notice with me as we come to the book of Colossians. Now I want to read from verses 15 through 17. And if we backed up Father, beginning in verse 8, he talks about putting off some things and putting on some things. But I want to begin reading in verse 15, 16, and 17, a parallel passage to the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. And what we're going to find as we read this is that being thankful, according to Ephesians 5 and this passage, being thankful is closely connected with the peace of God ruling in our hearts. He said in verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And again, he mentions the next several verses, wives, husbands, children, fathers, servants, and so forth. Now, in verse 16, and by the way, verse 15, before we go to verse 16, he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That means the word rule has the ideal of reigning. Let it sit as an umpire or as a governor. And so he said in verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse 16, now notice as we read verse 16, when I read this passage, what I see here is that he substitutes letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly for being filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5 and verse 18. In other words, basically, he's saying the same thing. He's saying in Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit. Here in this passage, he's saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And so we see clearly that we cannot separate being filled with the Spirit from letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. So again, and if you want to take a reference, Ephesians 3:17 talks about Christ dwelling in our hearts. Now, the church at Ephesus, they had Christ in their heart, but what is Paul saying? That you let Christ dwell in your hearts, it means that He would feel at home. That He would have priority in our hearts. That we would make room for Him. In other words, you would feel at home. You could take your shoes off and relax, and the Lord would feel at home in our hearts. And that's what He's trying to get across. And so, when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, we're talking about being filled with the Word of Christ. That Christ is comfortable in our hearts, and that we cannot separate the Spirit from the Word. Because it is the Spirit of God that has given us the Word of God. It's the author of the Word of God. They cannot be separated. Now I want you to notice that as we turn, you can turn loose of Ephesians now. I want to turn to the book of Psalms and chapter 95. Trying to decide where to go here. I'm going to give you some other verses. But I want you to notice with me in Psalms chapter 95. And I want to read the entire chapter. Now some other verses I'd like to give to you in reference to being filled with the Spirit. Remember the three things. Speaking to one another. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then the second thing is being thankful always and for all things. And the third thing is being submitted to one another in the fear of God. Well, in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, when Paul and Silas are thrown into prison, we find that even though that would be a kind of a sad situation, they were put in stocks. I mean, they were not only just put in prison, they were beat before and then put in stocks. But at midnight, they began singing praises unto the Lord. That's a sign of being filled with the Spirit. In Job chapter 1 and verse 21, when Job had went through all the calamities in that chapter, some major things in his life, what did he do? He worshiped God, he fell upon his face, and he praised the Lord. In Daniel 6 and verse 10, when prayer was outlawed in the kingdom there, we find that Daniel three times a day continued to go and kneel toward Jerusalem where the temple once stood, and he prayed unto his God. This is the leading of the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in Matthew 26 and verse 39, when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that the cup would pass, but he said, nevertheless, thy will. In other words, Jesus drank of that cup. We're talking about the leading of the Holy Spirit. We're not saying that everything happens to us, we like it. We don't like sickness. We don't like financial problems and tragedies and so forth, but we're saying that if we have a thankful heart, some way, somehow, by His Word and by His Spirit, we can see God's hand in it. It'd be nice if we could see God's hand in it while it was going on instead of later after it happened. Most of the time we say, well, we look back, I can look back and say, yeah, God was using that to speak to me. But going through it doesn't quite feel that way, does it? And so I think about Corrie Ten Boom, her sister. She thanked God for the lice that they had in prison, the Nazi prison, because that kept the guards from raping her and her sister. Now notice as we come here to Psalms 95, let me give you some other verses. Now let's, real briefly, let's say just a few things about unthankfulness. In Romans 1, verses 18 through 25, unthankfulness, now listen to me, is a sign of apostasy. It's a sign of apostasy. There's no other way to get around it. Verse 21 says, and when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. He continues on about the imaginations of their mind, but they were not thankful. So unthankfulness is a sign of apostasy, and that's why we should make every effort possible as a Christian to stay away from it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul said the last days, one of the signs of that is unthankfulness and unholy. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10, murmuring. Murmuring. What is murmuring? Griping, bellyaching, complaining. Murmuring against God. 1 Corinthians 10:10, 14,700 died. Not because of idolatry and fornication or sodomy. They died because they were griping and complaining. That's a lot of people to die at one time just for murmuring. In 2 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4, the last days is characterized by scoffers or mockers. We're just reading this past Wednesday night. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2 through 6, the children of Israel were ungrateful to God. The Bible says the ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib. In other words, these dumb animals, an ox and an ass, were more thankful to God. They were more thankful to God than the children of Israel were. We don't ever want to become like that. We want to be grateful and always thankful to God Almighty. That ox, that dumb ox, knew who his master was, knew who fed him. That ass knew where the master's crib. I've told you before, we used to have a farm, 50-acre farm grew up on, and we had a barn and we had a crib in that barn, and that's where we kept all the corn that we fed to the animals. And they knew where the crib was at. They knew who fed them, and they were very grateful for that. Philippians 2, verse 14 through 16, just reading a part of that, says, do all things without murmurings and disputing. And the reason in the text is so that we'll be blameless and harmless and shine as lights in this world that we live in. So I'm going to tell you, unthankfulness is a sign of apostasy. It's not good, and we need to be very careful. And I want to show you in the passage here we're going to read, and this is a reference to ancient Israel. And the first seven verses is dealing with our worship and thankfulness. And then the latter part of this chapter is showing the sins of the nation of Israel in the wilderness. If you're taking notes, Psalms 106, verses 13 through 25, it says, and they soon, I love the way it word, forget. Not just forgot, but they soon forget. In other words, they had short memories. Soon as they got across the Red Sea, the miraculous crossing, they began belly aching and griping. This is the complaining, the murmuring was one of the things that kept them out of the promised land. In Psalms 103, verses 1 and 2, he says, forget not all his benefits. Plural. Benefits. Benefits. Think about that. All of his benefits. And then in Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19, remember the 10 lepers? How many returned and gave thanks? One out of 10. Now that's not a lot, is it? 10% returned and gave, you know, that one person turned and gave thanks because he focused on the giver and not just the gift that was given. Amen. He focused on the giver. Notice now in Psalms chapter 95. Notice this. I'm going to read the first seven verses. First of all, this is what God would have all of us to do. And this is what we've done already so far this morning. We've came together to worship the Lord. Notice he said in verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. There's our word. And make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice. That's what we've tried to do here this morning. We want to come together and worship and give praise to the Lord and for all that He is and all that He has done, all of His benefits. But I want you to notice the warning that's given here. And again, the children of Israel suffered tremendously because of this. Notice as we read from verse 8, he says, harden not your hearts. Now this is quoted again in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews 10. He said, harden not your heart as in the provocation. They provoked God in the wilderness. And as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Grave warning. They did not. They all died in the wilderness. It was a new generation apart from Joshua and Caleb that entered into that promised land. Notice with me in Psalms 100, we just sang this. Notice in Psalms 100, and let's just read through it again. We see the issue of thanksgiving. We're to enter into His presence with thanksgiving. He said here in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. There's our word again. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. We are to enter into His presence always with thanksgiving. Whether it be private worship, private prayer, public worship, we're to enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, verse 4, and be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Psalms 107, verses 1 and 2 says, oh, give thanks. And then it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And throughout that chapter, you'll find in verse 8, in verse 15, in verse 21, verse 32, and 31 and verse 32, I believe, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wondrous works. Over and over, we see men and women delivered out of the dungeon, out of the desert, out of the deep, and out of the prison and so forth, delivered. And the Lord has delivered them. Notice in Psalms 105. Psalms 105. The Psalms, the book of Psalms, was Israel's hymn book. It's full of thanksgiving and praise. And we'll be singing a hymn in a few moments, Count Your Blessings, written in 1895. And count your blessings and name them one by one, and skipping a verse or so, and it may surprise you what the Lord has done. If we literally done that on a weekly basis and just count the blessings and write them down, it probably would surprise all of us of what the Lord has done. Every drink of water that we have, every bite of food that we have, our health, the air that we breathe, it belongs to God. He can stop it off anytime He wants to. It belongs to God. And so there's many, many blessings. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. So the Lord has given us physical blessings. He's given us spiritual blessings as well. We've all been blessed, especially living in this country. We're very blessed. Amen? Very, very blessed in this country. Well, notice in Psalms 105, and there's just so many times, I'm not going to belabor this, but there's so many times in the book of Psalms. Chapter 97 and verse 12. Chapter 108 and verse 1. 116 and verse 17. 118 verses 1 and verse 29. This book is just filled with praise and thanksgiving and blessing. But 105, he says in verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Or evermore, I should say. So we see the importance of praising the Lord. Notice in Psalms chapter 34. Psalms 34. This is David. Read the first four verses. Also in Psalms 119, 62, at midnight I will rise and give thanks. We believe that David probably wrote that as well. At midnight I will rise and give thanks. Notice as we come to Psalms 34, reading the first four verses. This is David. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. There's a lot of fears in this life. A lot of fears that we face in this life. And David is crying out and saying, the Lord has delivered me from all my fears. Well, turn back with me to the New Testament. And let's go to the book of Philippians. In the book of Philippians in chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. These are familiar verses. We've used these many, many times over the years. Notice in Philippians chapter 4, I want to begin reading in verse 4. I never get tired reading these verses. I hope you never get tired hearing them. We don't talk enough about thanksgiving to God. Notice as we begin reading, this is Paul writing to the church at Philippi, bringing this letter to a close. And he said in verse 4, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." In other words, I don't really believe he's talking about the second coming in this passage, but he's showing that the Lord is near us. And he's available to us. Then he said in verse 6 and 7, he said, "Be careful for nothing." In other words, don't be full of cares and worries and be anxious. He said, "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Wonderful passage, isn't it? He talks about prayer, supplication, and or with thanksgiving. "Let your requests be made known unto God." And then he said in verse 7, "And the peace of God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep," that is guard or protect, "shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That peace of God is mentioned again in verse 9. One of the greatest gifts we can have in life is peace in our heart. It's peace. It's worth more than peace in the land. We want peace in the land, but peace in the heart is worth more than anything else. It's priceless. Notice with me as we also turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And 1 Peter in chapter 2. Notice here. I've got one or two other passages after this to read and we'll be through. But notice in 1 Peter chapter 2, we find here what we have been called unto. You notice with me as we come to beginning in verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. He said, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood," notice, "to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." God has called upon us to always offer up spiritual sacrifice. We are a spiritual house. We are lively or living stones. Build it together. And we are a holy priesthood. So we're to offer up these spiritual sacrifices accepted to God. You'll notice in verse 9, he said, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." In verse 10, in time past, we were not a people. But now we are, verse 9, we're strangers and pilgrims. And in verse 12, he says we're to have our conversation honest among the Gentiles, that is, among those that are lost. So we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, and notice here, Hebrews chapter 13. Now I'll give you one other passage that you can write down. I'll actually read it to you, Revelation 11, before we read in Hebrews. I want you to listen, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, about worship in heaven. We use the book of Revelation to talk about worship in heaven. Well, listen to this. When everything is all done, all is finished, the Lord comes, new heavens, new earth. I'm going to read from Revelation 11, 15 through 18. And he says here in these verses, he said, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord, and of his Christ he shall reign forever and ever." Now listen to the praise. Now, And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks. Here we come back to this issue of thanksgiving. We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and which was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto the servants, unto thy servants rather, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. We find that in heaven, the saints of God, the angels of God, all that are in heaven are rejoicing and praising God and thanking Him. We mentioned that a few weeks ago. We learn how to worship here on earth by looking at the worship that takes place in heaven. Well, let us come to Hebrews 13 and let us close in this passage before we sing some hymns. And notice I'm going to be reading in verse 15 and in verse 16. I want to close with this passage, if you would stand with me. Notice as we come here, verse 15 and verse 16. Now the Apostle Paul here, we believe that Paul wrote this anyway, he's speaking to them about a number of things as he closes this letter. Verse 16, he's speaking to them about giving, that is, communicating. But notice what he says in verse 15 and 16. He said, By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. He's saying, let us have a balance in our life. Don't forget the physical things that we're called to do. In other words, all the things that God has required of us as Christians, don't forget them. But verse 15, I want to close with this. By Him, therefore, let us, that's every one of us here this morning, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Think about that. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let us always be a grateful and thankful people. Even with calamities and tragedies that take place, find the hand of God. And again, I wish I could always find it, and you know, while it's going on. I can find it after it happens. I can find it 6 months after it happens. I've done that many times, but I want to find it while it's going on so I can have that peace in my heart. And so I not violate the Scriptures and murmur. You know, you've heard people murmur, you know, under the breath, murmur, you know, griping and complaining about something all the time, just murmuring all the time. God is not happy with that. Let us be a thankful people and a grateful people. And I believe that you are. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and kindness and mercy to us. Lord, I thank you for each family in this church. Lord, I thank you for the salvation you've given to us, the opportunities you've given us to serve you. Lord, we are grateful that we can sit down together with one another with a good meal today and celebrate Thanksgiving today. Lord, we just ask now your blessings upon the remainder of this service. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.